The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a big finish from Steph Curry and the Road Warriors. Is Golden State now the favorite to win it all? Plus, KD's duds in Boston. Why is he struggling so much? Can he turn it around and save the Nets season? And Destination Debo, why he wants out and which teams have already made calls to the Niners to try and land him. Morning, everybody. Hannah Storm in for Mike Greenberg. A busy Friday, to say the least. And we have a full house here at Seaport. So we have Jeremy Fowler, Chris Canny here to talk football, PJ Carlissimo, Alan Hahn to talk hoops, and somebody barely made it into their seat on time this morning.
I had a wardrobe malfunction with the seat of my pants, so I had to midstream adjust, throw on a new suit, but I made it just in the nick of time.
Good. Yeah. I spilled coffee on my Jordans, which doesn't sound quite as bad.
I think that's more serious.
That's a bigger issue. All right, speaking of the Jays, let's go to the hoops last night and the game of the night. Warriors looking to go up 3-0 on the Nuggets with Steph Curry still coming off the bench. And boy, is that working, PJ?
Yeah, it's working very well. Again, I think the minutes limitation is why they're doing that. As his minutes go up, he played 30 last night. It's going to be tougher for Steve to continue to bring him off the bench. If you sit a player that long to begin the game, it's hard to make it up.
All right, in the fourth quarter, Nikola Jokic knocking down the three, Alan.
The would-be MVP for another time. He's got to win at home on his floor, doing everything he can to get it done in this game.
But there goes Steph from long range. Warriors back up 4. Now we're tied at 109. Jokic driving inside and scores. He has to win a game, right? The MVP at some point here?
He's 37-18. He's doing, all he can. He doesn't have a ton of help right now going up against a juggernaut. Not right here.
And how about Jordan Poole, PJ, and what a factor he has been.
Unbelievable. Talk about taking a step. He's taking two steps, and it looks like he's doing it consistently, and that's a big challenge for young guys.
Look at that tough finish. Oh, man, 27 points. Here goes Steph. He also had 27. Nuggets looking to respond, and this was just a huge defensive play down the stretch by Draymond.
Get after it, Draymond, right here against, again, the MVP. You got to get that stop. You get it. And let them know, Draymond, let them know the Warriors coming out to play.
Yep, taking game three, 118-113 to lead the series. 3-0. Here's Steph after the win.
I feel great. Obviously, every game I started to figure out a better rhythm and understand what I'm asked to do right now, what I want to do coming off the bench and being productive. A lot to build on. Can't get complacent, though. So as soon as we walk off the court, we're done celebrating.
Curry has come off the bench in all three games. He scored 77 points in 75 minutes. He has a plus minus of plus 52 in this series. Highest mark of any player thus far. We're early in the postseason. So here's the question. I mean, PJ, you touched on it. So, Alan, you start weighing in here. Should Curry continue to come off the bench? Are we looking at the best sixth man in the NBA right now?
In history, maybe, as well, of what he can do off the bench. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the most important part, and Coach, I know you could speak on this as a coach, he's a star player, and he's fine with it. Because the old adage, it's not really who starts, it's who finishes. And we saw in the highlights who was on the floor when it mattered most. So if he's good with it, and Jordan Poole is playing well, they had 34 points in the first quarter, so they're not getting off the bad starts. Don't mess with it until you have to.
I think he will, though. I think as the minutes go up, it just, you can't get a guy the minutes you want. It's a starter. You want him to play big minutes. If you sit him for the first 5-6 minutes of the game, it's hard to play him that many minutes of the ones that are left. So I think he'll change it eventually. I think some guys can't play better because they're coming off the bench against lesser players. For Steph, it doesn't matter. I think it won't be long before Steve puts him back in. If Steve hears me saying he should put him back in, he'll go opposite for
sure. Yeah, sure. Why not? Of course. Of course. But, no. But do you agree with what PJ is saying, or do you think that they should stick with this formula? You know, the way things stand now, they could be going to Memphis for a couple of games next round.
It's the first round. Also, it's early on, and maybe as Steph is still coming back from the injury, you want to dial up the minutes, sure, but do you need him right now to play those big minutes? Can you steal some time right now? Because, again, I mean, if it's Memphis in the next round, or even if it's Minnesota in the next round, Jordan Poole's played so well. So how do you, coach, how do you manage that? Because you're taking minutes now away from him if you're doing this.
Yeah, well, there's enough minutes for both of them. Steph's a starter. You're talking one of the best players in the history of the game. He's going to be back in the lineup and very shortly. And you certainly don't want to go on the road against a really good team and dig a hole and say, okay, we got Steph, we'll come from behind. That's not what they're about.
Right, and that's what they're looking at here as a lower seed. But listen, Poole is a luxury, right?
You can't play any better than Jordan Poole. Yeah.
Steph is able to work his way back, take his time, and now the Warriors are the favorites to win the title, according to Caesar Sportsbook. This is the second time this season that the Dubs have been favored to win it all. They were also co-favorites with the Suns in early March, but now, as we all know, Devin Booker is out for 2 to 3 weeks. Are you buying this, PJ, that they're the favorites to win?
It's ridiculous. Too soon. Too much too soon. We're talking three games. All of a sudden, things are upside down. No question who the best team in the league is. It's the Phoenix Suns. And when Devin Booker comes back, they're going
to
be fine.
Okay, but without Devin Booker, are they going to be able to weather that storm?
They should. I think that the Suns have great depth. I want this to be a conference finals. Like we all want it to be a conference finals. And if we can get that, that'd be great. And hopefully by then, Devin Booker is fine. Grade one hamstring strain, a couple of weeks. He's dealt with hamstrings before, which is in the other leg, actually, the left side. So this is in the right. But he knows how to play through hamstring strains. So you expect him to get back in time. But I also look at the Warriors, though, as a team I would call the favorite, not necessarily because three games and there's an injury, but because they've got the pedigree already. They've been there, done that. And when you watch them these three games, you see a team that is rolling right now.
Yeah, you got a core that won three titles in 4 years. Now they got the young guns, Poole and Wiggins. Really exciting to see what happens there. Okay, but what is happening with the Nets? This is arguably the biggest story in the NBA. Kevin Durant and the Nets struggling in Boston. It starts in game one when Jason Tatum hits that buzzer-beating layup, just a killer to give the Celtics the 1-0 series lead. And KD struggling in that loss. He shoots 9 for 24 from the field, 1 for 5 from 3. 6 turnovers, and then this carries over to game 2. He shoots 4 of 17 from the field, 0 for 10 in the second half, worst shooting half of his career. Yesterday on Get Up, Stephen A. had this to say about KD.
It is scary how bad Kevin Durant has looked and how humbled he has been in this series thus far. He got to change it. He's got to turn it around. I got to believe he can. But I have never seen Kevin Durant look this bad. I am shell-shocked, and I have nothing to say in his defense, not anything, because of what I have seen.
I mean, Kevin Durant has nearly as many turnovers as made field goals through two games this postseason. It's the first time in his career he shot under 40% and committed at least 6 turnovers in consecutive games. And, PJ, you've had a front row seat to this. You're calling this series on the radio. Why is KD struggling so much?
He's struggling because of Boston's defense. They're playing extremely well. They're the best defensive team in the league. They have been all year. They have great length to go at them. Watch right now. It's always two players. These are two big players, Daniel Tice, Jason Tatum. The hands are up, but it's the help that's there. The turnovers are what is hurting the worst. 12 turnovers in two games. Watch the help again. It's not his primary defender. That's Jason Tatum. Watch Jaylen Brown come in from the backside. It's the team defense and what they're doing with his turnovers, creating the offense right there and going on the other end. Look at the size. You're happy when one guy contests a shot. There's two guys contesting a shot. This has happened repeatedly in the first two games. When he goes again, he's going against the entire team. I mean, literally, when you chart this, if one guy's contesting a shot, you're really pleased. They've had two contesting most of his shots. Sometimes it's three. It's exceptional team defense. Kevin's gotten a little frustrated the way the game's been called.
Yeah, you can see it.
But he's also had everybody's discount. He's had two really good halves, too. He's had one big half in each game where he played well. I think he'll he'll play much, much better in Barclays. But the problem is Boston's defense is exceptional. It's not going to get easier, and particularly if the teams are allowed to get physical with him. The biggest thing is the turnovers. He's got to be careful handling the ball. Most of his turnovers are when he's bouncing the ball, and the help is there coming against him.
I mean, Alan, you said something in our meeting this morning that you don't think he's playing with confidence, which is hard to believe when you're talking about KD.
No, as Coach is going through some of those highlights, he was showing us the defense. You see him there fumbling the basketball, the turnovers, off balance on one spin move. Dribble off his foot here. Yep. I mean, this is Kevin Durant. You know, this is not some scrub who just got into the league. I mean, this guy's one of the great players of all time. Dribbling off his foot in crunch time, off balance shots. He's not, when he rises up to shoot a basketball, you always think it's going in. I was talking to a coach after game two. He said he has no presence in this game. He had no presence. And that's not something you're used to seeing from him. Mm-hmm. So is it the defense? Absolutely. It's in his head a little bit, too. And Steve Nash has got to figure out a way to help him.
Okay, so help him how? I mean, that would be the question. You mentioned the call. Should Steve Nash be,
no, it's
be
not,
saying
it's
something?
Not the, don't get me wrong. If the officials allow it to be physical, that's a plus for Boston. I think the other thing that's a little lost in the shuffle, people forget, Ime Udoka was an assistant last year in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous advantage. We also see that's happening.
Okay, is he out coaching his boss from last year at this point?
No. It's not about coaching. It's about the players. Kevin Durant's going to be fine. He'll play very well in Barclays. Yeah, they got to get him easy buckets. First game, we said he didn't get enough free throws. Second game, he got 20 free throws.
Right.
He'll find a way. Dribbling the ball is getting him in trouble. So, yeah, getting him off the ball, getting him off screens, all that will help, but I think he'll play well. The problem is Boston's defensive scheme. Early in the game, when Bruce Brown got them going, scored like 9 in a row, Kevin got off the ball right away. Right. If his teammates step up and continue to do that, first game, Kyrie. Everybody's like, these two games were mismatches. They lost on the last play of the first game after they trailed by 10 or 11 going into the fourth quarter. This game, they led for a big chunk of the game. So the series is not over yet. It hasn't looked good. Kevin Durant's playing as poorly as I've seen him play. But I'm betting on Kevin Durant to bounce back.
Are you putting it all on the players, or where do you think Nash can help here?
I think there's ways. And PJ, I obviously know that you know this better than anybody. So I'm speaking more from the observer and obviously not from the experience that you have. But there are times I've seen in my many years covering the NBA and actually in other leagues too, where a coach can say, I see what's going on, I see what they're doing to him, and it's getting in his head a little bit. I've got to stick up for him. Post-game, I don't need to hear they're a more experienced team. What I need to see is pound the table, you know, give me a take that for data moment like David Fizdale had or something, but just say, I've got the best player in the world on my team right now, and he's getting manhandled. And I can't believe the league is allowing this to happen. I'll take the fine. I'll pay the fine. But I want my player to know I got his back. And I also want to send that message. We are going home. We're in our building. Our role players will play better because they're in our building with our fans. But I want my star player to also feel like I've got his back. The officials certainly will see it. They'll see all the comments. And maybe they'll watch some tape and see there's a lot of little pushes and shoves going on before Kevin even gets to the basketball.
Also, Kyrie had a terrible second half. I mean, we can't let him get off scot-free. All right. Moving on to the NFL. What a shocker this week. Star wide receiver, well, we should call him running back, wide back, Deebo Samuel tells our Jeff Darlington that he has asked the Niners to trade him. His quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, has spoken so highly of Deebo and his development since entering the NFL. Here's what Jimmy G had to say yesterday.
I don't know the exact what is going on behind the scenes, what the reasons are for everything, but, you know, what they would be getting in Deebo is one of the best players that I've ever played with. Honestly, one of the best football players, one of the best guys I've ever played with. Just, and I've been with Deebo since he was a rookie, so I've seen him, you know, evolve and grow. Just the way that he sets the tone, though, for us in practice, in the game, in the meeting room, whatever it is, the dude just, I mean, he puts his heart into it.
So critical for that team, and that spoke volumes what Jimmy G just said, how important Deebo is. And here's a look if they do decide to honor this trade request for the eight teams who have multiple first-round picks in the draft that might be interested. And then there's Dallas. You might imagine the Cowboys looking for some help replacing Amari Cooper. And, you know, those draft picks loom large because they don't have a first-round pick this year. The Niners, they traded it all away to get Trey Lance. So, Jeremy, what is the latest in this situation?
Well, Hannah, I just checked in on this, and I'm told the situation has reached a boiling point, that Deebo Samuel, part of the issue is that he's been used as a running back and wide receiver and wants to prolong his career, but I'm told that's not the only issue here that resulted in the trade request. They're keeping all that under wraps for now, but multiple teams are interested. It's believed that the Jets are one of those teams. I've talked to some league execs who think that the Packers, that the Chiefs, because of their multiple first-round picks and their needed receiver, could get involved here. Could be a bit of a long shot because of the money. And make no mistake, San Francisco does not want to do this. They've made clear they want to keep Deebo Samuel. It would take a major offer to get this done, but there's some urgency here with the draft just 6 days away.
Is there something else going on besides just money?
Well, I think that the relationship has soured a bit. It's still unclear from them, from Samuel's camp, what's going on exactly, other than the running back wide receiver situation and prolonging his career is part of it. I know that.
And we've seen all these wideouts getting paid this offseason, so you got to think that's where he wants to go. A lot of possibilities, a lot of teams with multiple first-round picks, a lot of teams that sent high-paid receivers away. Where would you like to see Deebo go?
Well, it's the Dallas Cowboys for me. I mean, they've already gone all in on trying to win a championship, and Jerry Jones ain't buying green bananas, so it seems like it would make sense for them to flip the 24th pick and bring in one of the best playmakers the NFL has. People got to remember, the Dallas Cowboys moved on from Amari Cooper this offseason. Cedric Wilson left in free agency. Zeke Elliott's best days are behind him. Tony Pollard is unrestricted after 2022. I mean, they are losing a lot of juice in their skill position core, and so adding a guy like Deebo makes a lot of sense. Last year, the Dallas Cowboys, in terms of broken tackles in their run game, there were only five teams that had fewer broken tackles in their run game. So I get that they have the number one offense, but it's not without warts, and they couldn't run the football when it matters. That's why they lost five or six games when they didn't rush for a buck. So it just seems like you would try to make up that lack of playmaking in the run game. You'd offset that with a guy like Deebo Samuel, who is a yak monster. Averaged 10 yards after catch last season. Deebo Samuel's Dallas Cowboys, make it happen.
Yeah, they got to clean up that offensive line, though. I mean, they really do. You got to give the line some of the blame for
but
that.
But if the line is not good, Hannah, here's the thing. I can throw it out to Deebo on a smoke or a slant and let him do the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
that's
so
the
he
beauty
could.
Of Deebo Samuel.
He could. How realistic is this?
Here's the problem. You can only pay so many stars, right? And they got rid of Amari Cooper because they didn't want to pay him $20 million because they got to pay Zeke $20 million a year. You got Dak. You got all these other problems that they got to deal with. You got the O-line. And they're all in on Dan Quinn and his defense. They believe that's a big reason why they jumped last year. So they're going to put more resources into that through the draft. Get a pass rusher. Get guys like that. I love the fit. So I think they'll
at least
look into
it. Listen, they had $70 million to give Randy Gregory, and he left to go to the Denver Broncos. They can find the money, just like the Rams and Les Snead found the money. We keep thinking that the Rams don't have any more salary cap space, and they keep finding money to give the guys.
They can put the money in the Willy Wonka
machine. Deebo Samuel has the dominant traits that everybody in the NFL is looking for. It makes a lot of sense.
It's just that how do we get here, right? Because you look at the end of the last season, I called a couple of their games. I mean, they were all in. It was all about Deebo, right? They go on the road. I mean, I can't imagine them sending him to, like, Green Bay. You mentioned Green Bay, a rival. I mean, that just seems...
I don't either, but it's all about the draft pick capital. If they're going to get a massive offer from the Packers, they might just think about it. These GMs are different now. They don't care as much about the conference stuff as they used to.
You don't think so? You can see Lynch and Shanahan doing that. Do you think he should want out of San Francisco? I mean, they came very close to going to the Super Bowl last year.
I understand where Deebo is coming from. It's about longevity, and everybody's focused on the second contract. But every player in the National Football League knows it's not about just getting paid that one big contract. Yeah. It's about getting paid multiple times. You want seconds, you want thirds, you want fourths too, if it's possible. And it's not outside of the realm of possibility for Deebo Samuel to get another contract in his early 30s, like we saw with Julio Jones, like we saw with Antonio Brown when he went with the Raiders. This is what Deebo Samuel is thinking about. And when you look at how they used him and his average yards after catch, yards after catch, like, that's more in line of what we see from running backs. Like, he was the only receiver in receiver in the top 10 in yards after catch on average. So that's a problem when it comes to longevity because he's taking a lot of hits.
Yeah, he is. All right. So speaking of hits, let's go to your greatest hits. Let's have it. We'll keep it in San Fran with Jimmy G. Let's go. Hurry up.
Yeah, Hannah, so his market has cooled and has been cool for a while now, largely because of that shoulder surgery. He should be able to throw sometime in the summer. Now, Carolina and the Panthers, they've been implicated with Baker Mayfield, but there's more of a chance perhaps for Jimmy Garoppolo. I know they've looked into it. They've exhausted all quarterback options. So that's something that I'm looking at
on the table. San Francisco is being patient here. This might not get done before the draft. They're prepared to hold on to his $26 million salary and still get done what they need to in free agency in the draft. Until they get some clarity and get the right offer, they're going to want a decent pick. A.J. Brown, different situation with Brown in Tennessee than it is with Samuel in San Francisco. I'm told the vibes there in Tennessee are very good. I've asked around the organization, and Brown has been in touch with some of the coaches there. There's no feeling there that he's not going to be in their plans long term. So they're going to try to hash out a deal probably this offseason. Tennessee's going to have to pay a lot of people. They got Jeffrey Simmons, the D-tackle, Derrick Henry. They might do something with him this summer. So a lot of money's going to be spent in Nashville coming up. Then we got Kyler Murray, quarterback situation that seems to be on the mend a little bit. Now, GM Steve Keim saying that there's zero chance they're trading Kyler Murray has been the message privately as well. I talked to one quarterback needy team this week. They said that they ain't trading Kyler Murray. He's going to be in Arizona a long time. That this is all just, you know, some posturing, negotiation to get something done. So the Cardinals are going to try to get through the draft here. And then they'll probably hash out a deal maybe this summer. They budgeted for this for a while.
Yeah, I mean, but he wants his money early. Still hasn't won a playoff game there. All right, coming up, will we finally see the end of the Baker Mayfield saga in Cleveland? Please say no, because we have so much fun talking about it, right? Our insider is going to be here to tell you why it could be over in just days. And I'm guessing that insider might be named Jeremy Fowler. And plus, with Devin Booker out for the Suns, is it time for the Pels to bring back Zion? Why, one of our analysts says absolutely yes. We're talking about that next on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by PlaneSwap. Watch this first-of-its-kind feat live on Sunday at 4 Pacific, only on Hulu. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check this out, courtesy of the Ohio State Marching Band, their baton twirler, Dalton Carrero, pulls off this unbelievable trick, CeCe.
That's pretty impressive. Now, I was once upon a time in the marching band, but I couldn't imagine myself doing something like that.
CeCe, you were in the marching band.
I was in the marching band.
And you did
what? I played the clarinet and the bassoon. But then I realized, that my talents could be utilized in other places and be more.
At what point in your life were you in the marching band?
I was in the marching band my freshman year in high school.
Wow.
Freshman year in high school. So it took me that long to figure out what I belonged on a football field in a different capacity.
Didn't see that one coming. How about this? Nobody saw this coming either. KD, Kyrie, and the Nets, they are in deep, deep trouble. And could Ben Simmons come back to help save their season? Plus, with Devin Booker out, will it be sunset on Phoenix? And should the Pels consider bringing back Zion now? We get into it all next on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick Six, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hannah and Fagrini on Get Up. Alan and PJ back. What a comeback this was. So Carl Anthony Towns looking good in the pregame warm-ups, not so much in the game.
Most energy we saw at a cat all night right there.
I tell you what, man, his teammates picked it up, though. They were blowing out Memphis early.
Early leads don't matter in the NBA.
Look at Curly Neal.
This was a great highlight from Pat Beverly. Yeah, exactly.
Go Globetrotters. A-Rod loves it.
He does. They led by as many as 26 points on their home floor. And then they blow that lead, PJ. Ja Morant attacking.
Well, it was more Memphis just turned it on. And again, after struggling a little bit at home and down a big number early, they got it together.
But yeah.
Hey, 21-0, Coach, can I get a timeout somewhere in that 21-0 run?
Well, most people would, but again, it's how you coach your team. And Chris Finch has done a great job with this team. Last night, they didn't respond at all.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks with a dagger here as the Grizzlies outscore the T-Wolves by 25 in the fourth. They take game three of the series, take a 2-1 lead with game four on Saturday. And that 25-point differential in the fourth tied for the third largest in NBA postseason history. That 26-point comeback tied for the third largest over the last 25 postseasons. As we head east now, Woj says that for game four of the Nets and the Celtics series on Monday, this has become now a realistic target for the season debut, long-awaited debut, of Ben Simmons, who has not been ruled out officially for game three tomorrow. That does appear less likely. So he's been in four-on-four drills all week long. He will be again today. Would you like to see him earlier than game four?
I mean, what's the difference of 2 days? You know, again, he hasn't played in a year. I understand the back issue, but he's been working out all week. You watched him taking jump shots there. You're not coming in the game for that. Like, there's no rust to knock off when that's not what you're supposed to. They need him for defense. He's 6'10". He can guard both Tatum and Brown, and they desperately need that kind of energy on that end of the floor, even if it's 10 minutes in the first half, PJ. I feel like they're leaving it up to the player, and if I'm a player, I want to play. I want to play now for my team because this is a critical game.
How his players feel. They should put Kyle Korver in. They're going to put somebody in. Kyle Korver's feeding him the ball right there. I think if they put Ben Simmons in, the team would want that. If the team doesn't want it, and Steve Nash is going to know that. Again, they were a lot closer, both of those games, in Boston than people realize. Ben's game is well-suited to come in. Doesn't matter if he loads the plays. He knows what he's doing. He can defend. He can rebound. The other thing he can do is he can really pass the ball.
True.
I just don't know how his team feels about that, and nobody knows other than Ben what kind of shape he's in.
And aren't you putting him in a tough position in a way? Because they're down 2-1. Maybe if you bring him back Monday, they could be down. It could be an elimination game, and he's expected to come in, and here we are all talking about it. He hasn't played in a year. Is that a little too much pressure to place on him?
Especially for a player that didn't really enjoy the pressure in Philadelphia and what he was dealing with there and didn't want to play there. And now you're going to have him in the New York market in what could be an elimination game for a team with all these stars and all this expectation. And Monday on Get Up, the conversation will be Ben Simmons, the savior. He's going to turn it around. They're going to come back from down 0-3, and it'll all be on him. And if it doesn't work, he'll take a bulk, but not all, but a bulk of the blame, and there'll be a lot of questions about what that team will be next year.
They made the deal. He's not the only one that's going to take the heat.
Right.
The front office will take the heat. He's getting paid a lot of money. You got to come up and you got to play. That's just the way it is.
Can he really make an appreciable difference
in
this series?
Could he? Yes. Would I bet on it? I have no idea.
What would it take?
If he can play well. He's playing with two guys who also sat out for a real long time and came back and played well. People wonder whether KD could even be close to what he was in the past. He comes back from two major injuries, and it looks like there's no rust at all. Kyrie misses half the season, comes back, and starts dropping 40 points. It's possible.
It's a long time. I mean, it's almost a year since Ben has played. But again, to me, his game is suited to that. I think it's much more what's behind the scenes. How do his teammates feel? How does Steve Nash feel? What's the confidence level? And how are they going to play on Saturday night? I think they're going to respond on Saturday. They're not necessarily going to win, but they got a chance. If they find a way to win Saturday, then we got a series back in it. It's a really good series.
Do you see the Nets coming back home and winning?
Yeah, I do. I do because role players play better at home. And actually, the role players played really well in the first half in Boston in game two. Goran Dragic had a terrific first half. And Bruce Brown, again, was wonderful to start the game and then little by little disappears. And here's another thing. When Bruce Brown comes out of the game, a good energy guy can guard. That's when you bring in a Ben Simmons and just in spot minutes just to kind of get him into a rotation. There's a spot you can put him. But because they're playing in Brooklyn, because they're home, and because I got to trust Kevin Durant is not going to stay lost for more than two games, I think they do get game three.
But, man, the Celtics have to be awfully confident right now. And if they get by the Nets, they have to feel like they can beat anybody in the NBA. All right. Meanwhile, the team that was favored at the start of the playoffs to win it all, bad news out of Phoenix. Devin Booker has suffered a grade one right hamstring strain. Players historically do require about 14 to 21 days to recover. Very problematic injury. That would put his return during this series against the Pelicans in question. And entering game two on Tuesday, the Suns were the favorites to win the title at plus 200. Phoenix has since dropped to plus 450. The Warriors have passed them as title favorites. Are the Suns in trouble, PJ?
No, absolutely not. The Suns are fine. They've played without players all year. They've played without Book. They'll be fine. They'll find a way to win, and they're the best team in the league. By far, 64 wins, a dominant team. They were in the finals last year. They're young, but there's a pedigree there, and CP's going to find a way.
I mean, can't we see? They're the deepest team in the NBA, right?
It's so rare to see a team with 60 wins also have one of the highest scoring benches in the game. Usually you're a bad team because your bench plays a lot and they'll score, but it doesn't happen with winning teams like this. So that depth carries them through. I also feel like if Chris Paul was the guy with the hamstring injury, I'd have a lot more concern. Devin Booker is a great player that we, I think, underrate, but he played through hamstring injuries before. You see right there, they have won without him. It is the playoffs, but their path right now, Pelicans and maybe Memphis, a young team, it feels like they won't really have that tough challenge to the conference finals, and the hope is by then he'll be healthy enough.
One of the reasons he didn't get more MVP consideration is because he did have so much help around him, Devin Booker. And you would think they would beat the team that finished with the ninth best record in the West, but if you are on the side of the Pelicans, why wouldn't you consider bringing Zion Williamson back at some point in this series?
Long term, what kind of shape he's in. I don't know if he was ever in good shape. And I mean, he hasn't played as long as he's not played. I think it's more what Griff and what Willie Green are going to feel long term is the best thing. I don't think they're going to look at what do we got to do to win this series. Realistically, they're not going to win the NBA championship. What's the best thing for Zion long term? How much pressure is he or his people putting on them? Hey, I want to play.
I mean, look at him right there, though, PJ. That's it. You got to look at that. That's awfully tempting.
I'll tell you what, from experience, the jump part doesn't hurt. It's the land that hurts. And when you got extra weight,
right,
it does hurt. But
what do you think?
As you talk about the long term, he doesn't want to be there long term. So if you're the Pelicans, there's a part of you that's got to think to yourself, if you're Trajan Langley, if you're David Griffin, you've got to think to yourself, we got a chance maybe in this series. You know, Brandon Ingram is playing at a special level with a lot of confidence. Obviously, what CJ McCollum has become, they've got all these different pieces on that team that are really good. They got a terrific defensive player off the bench. I mean, in their lineup. Just all hands on deck, PJ. I feel like he wants to play. His stepfather said, I expect him to play. Get him out there. Maybe he can affect something in this series that could put a scare into the Suns. You can't worry about long-term for a guy that seems to be letting you know, I don't plan on being here long-term.
You have to worry about long-term because that's the key, whether he's with the franchise or not. The series doesn't matter. Long-term matters. Is Zion going to be there? They got to do whatever is the best thing to keep Zion there. Whether he realizes or not, it's the best thing
for
him.
Okay, so what are those discussions like? Just take me behind the scenes. What's happening? Right.
Oh, sure. He says he wants to play. Who knows what's really going on? Who knows what the other players feel like? Why does he feel good now? He didn't feel good a month ago. What's happened? I'm not going to play in a regular season. I'm going to play now.
Yeah, what happened?
You know what's happened. People forgot about me. I don't want to be here. How do I get traded if I'm looking? Pictures show me to be heavy. They're saying I'm not healthy. So now I got to show people that I'm healthy so I have a value that somebody might want to trade for me. Remember, they've got a big decision to make.
The team would want that too, right?
You think so? Because right now they've got to decide whether or not they want to give him a max contract off his rookie deal coming up, an extension. Mm-hmm. Are you really giving him where he is right now physically, an extension, where he's been away from you all this time, and you're going to now go, we're going to give you 5 years, 180, let's go, when you don't even know if he's all in. So you've got to see him, and he also wants the league to see him physically able to play at a high level, so maybe there is a team that's willing to give up a boatload to get him.
Yeah, no one's going to change their mind on what he does in a game or two. That's all irrelevant.
I just want to know
whether they know whether they want him or not.
Yeah, very small sample size, though,
so far
with Zion. All right, we have a trio of Game 3s for you tonight. The Heat and the Hawks, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Then over on ABC, Game 3 of the Bucks and the Bulls. That's an interesting series at 8:30 Eastern. And back on ESPN, 9:30 Eastern. The Suns and the aforementioned Pels, all three available on ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app, so you don't miss a thing. And coming up, will we finally see the end of the Baker Mayfield saga in Cleveland? Our insider's back to tell you why it could be over in days and where Baker could end up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Start your mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern, they answer the pressing questions around the sports world.
Let's talk about Steph's legacy.
They're going to probably draft an explosive guy.
And deliver their hot takes on breaking news and new developments.
The Lakers are one of the worst jobs in the NBA.
Tune in every weekday at 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Back on Get Up, Hannah in for Greeny. Mavs and Jazz last night. Luka in the house, but not in the game. Still out with that calf strain. No worries, because Jalen Brunson has it all going on. 23 points through the first 3 quarters. Second straight terrific game from him. And look at him finding Spencer Dinwiddie, putting it down over Rudy Gobert. Oh, what a beauty. Mavs are up by 15, under 3 minutes remaining in the third. Donovan Mitchell's like, I got to get my guys back in this thing. Nice finish there. Jazz within 6 after the third quarter. Mitchell drops 18 in the third, but it was all Brunson down the stretch. He finishes with 31 in this one. He had 41 in game 2. He is going to get paid big time. Dinwiddie, dagger, 3. He drops 20 with 6 dimes, 5 rebounds. Mavs win at 126-118. They take a 2-1 lead game 4 on Saturday. And back to Jalen Brunson leading the way without Luka. That's 72 points. Get this, only one turnover over the last 2 games. How crazy is that? That's tied for the 5th most points over a 2-game span by a player to commit 1 or 0 turnovers. Even CeCe here can appreciate that.
And he's got a big bag coming to him this offseason.
Oh, he sure does. All right, it is time to play Canny or Canty. So we're moving over to the NFL. Can Tua lead Miami to the playoffs this season? Canny or Canty?
He can't, Hannah. And here's the thing. I've got him as the 3rd best quarterback in that division behind Josh Allen and Mac Jones. And if he doesn't prove to be any better than 3rd, then his team is going to be outside looking into the playoffs. Tua will be looking for another job this offseason. And while he's polishing up his resume, you might as well get the resume for Chris Greer ready to go too, because you got Tyreek Hill, you got Tyron Armstead, Cedric Wilson, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds. If Tua can't make it work with that group of guys on offense, then he'll never be able to make it work as a starter in Miami.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So without Devontae, can Aaron Rodgers get to the Super Bowl?
I'm going to say he can, Hannah, and I'm not going to doubt the guy that has back-to-back MVPs. And if we're being honest, Hannah, Aaron Rodgers does need to get to another Super Bowl and win another Super Bowl to be in that GOAT conversation with Montana, with Brady, and with Manning. If he doesn't get that, then it makes you question how great Aaron Rodgers actually really is. And so I know the Packers made a huge bet to the tune of $150 million in a contract extension this offseason. He got to return that by getting them to the Super Bowl.
All about those rings, right?
No doubt.
Baker Mayfield awaiting his next team. Can he still be a starter in the NFL?
He can, Hannah, but it's going to be a bridge quarterback to something for a team to do long term. He's something to do when there's nothing to do, to quote a line from Drake. Baker Mayfield, for all of the intangibles that were supposed to be strengths, we saw that come apart in Cleveland. He was a polarizing player. The OBJ saga split the locker room. There were guys that were saying that they didn't like the way that all of that went down. And then you have a quarterback that hasn't taken accountability for why things went wrong in Cleveland. And based on anything that we've heard from Baker Mayfield, it doesn't sound like he's any closer to doing that. So, yeah, I think he can be a starter because there's a team that's going to be desperate. They're going to have an injury. That'll provide an avenue, but it'll just be temporary.
All right, so our Baker Mayfield expert insider is here in the house, among other things. That's all right. You're standing tall. I love it. All right, tell us, how desperate are the Browns?
They are highly
Baker.
Motivated, Hannah. With the draft 6 days away, they would love to do something before then because they want to get that $18.8 million guaranteed salary off their books. If they can trade him, then it's a clear move off their salary cap. If they have to release him, then they have to eat that money. But there are no motivated buyers right now. You hear a little bit of Carolina. I believe they're torn in their building as to whether they want to go the Mayfield route. Not everybody there is sold. Not really anything moving there. Seattle looms a little bit, but they've kind of sort of moved on with Drew Lock and Geno Smith and a draft pick. So there are no notable suitors right now that are ready to do a deal.
Why are they torn, the Panthers? What is the perception of Baker Mayfield? You touched on it just moments ago, CeCe, around the NFL.
Well, I think that people are questioning his leadership ability. I don't think it's a question of the productivity on the field. He's taken the team to the playoffs. He's won a road playoff game. I mean, there's not going to be a quarterback that comes out of this year's draft right. that you would feel more confident can play at a higher level in year one than what Baker Mayfield can do for you right now.
So he's better than anyone, obviously, in this draft
class. The question is, what does he bring to the table as a leader in your locker room and in your organization? And a lot of teams, if he's not going to be the long-term solution at quarterback, they're not going to absorb the baggage that comes along with Baker.
All right, so what makes sense and what's the timetable here? How is all of this related to what happens in the draft next week?
Yeah, so this could get done closer to the draft because that typically spurs some action on the trade front. You're going to see a lot of players around the league that could possibly get dealt because teams are on the phone, especially teams in the top 10. You know, they're asking, what do you want? What do you need for this spot? And they're moving pieces around. And so what the Browns need is a motivated buyer. But I've talked to several teams that said they could just wait this out and wait for Cleveland to release him because there's no leverage here. They got Deshaun Watson that they owe $46 million a year to. So everybody knows what they're going to do. I spoke to one GM and said, look, if you're the Browns, just hold tight. Hold them into the offseason. Somebody's going to get an injury in camp or whatever, and then they're desperate, and then you could make a move. But it's fascinating because he is a polarizing personality. I've talked to a few people around the league that basically call him an acquired taste. You know, he's a guy that you might not really gel with him personality-wise. He can be a little bit abrasive.
Is that what they call him, an acquired taste, or are you just paraphrasing?
maybe a little. But then others are shocked, right? They're like, look, this guy's had two good seasons, and you're right. There are a lot of people around the league that agree with you that he's better than the quarterback class.
Yeah.
CeCe, what does he bring to the table?
Well, he brings the experience. I mean, he knows how to operate an NFL offense. He's played in a lot of different systems, and I don't think that did him any favors in terms of his overall development. But just his ability to be able to operate an offense, I think, is the thing that you look for. It's competent quarterback play, and it's hard to find that in the National Football League. It's always a quarterback-starved league, and you can't make an argument that Baker Mayfield is not one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL. So for a team that's not sold on their incumbent, that's looking for a solid option that can be a bridge to whatever you're going to do long-term, Baker Mayfield makes a ton of sense, but you're not going to let him step into your organization unless he's your starting quarterback, because why would you want your backup to be in a position where he splits your locker?
So are you saying like a team like Seattle would bring him in to fight for a starting spot, maybe a team that doesn't have a clear-cut starter?
Here's the thing, Hannah. I don't think it's going to be a quarterback competition if you bring Baker Mayfield in. He has to be your starter, because if he's not your starter, he's going to make a stink. You can't have Baker Mayfield in the quarterback room with him as a backup to a lesser player from his perspective. Can Baker Mayfield be the backup to Drew Lock? It ain't going to work, but Hannah.
Right. That would seem to really shrink his options down, though, Jeremy, if that's actually the case.
Because I don't know if a team is ready to do that right now. That's why Tampa Bay, like, you can't take them off the table because, you know, Tom, I mean, he might play till he's 57, but that's unlikely, right? Mm-hmm. So you stash Mayfield for a year. He can be the incumbent and step in.
What were the Drake lyrics again? Because those were perfect.
Something to do when there's nothing to do.
There you go. That's the Baker, that's Mayfield, Baker Mayfield situation in a nutshell. CC, Jeremy, thank you guys so much. Really quick, we want to run the bases. The red hot Francisco Lindor had three hits, including this home run, his fourth of the season. The Mets beat the Giants 6-2. Mets now have 10 wins. Break up the Mets. They have the most wins in all of baseball. Meanwhile, in Detroit, with the Yankees trailing 1-0 in the eighth and runners on second and third, Aaron Boone decides to intentionally walk Miggy Cabrera. Now, the fans, obviously, they don't like that because Cabrera is one hit away from 3,000. That is where he remains as of this morning, and the Tigers win 3-0. And the play of the day in Seattle last night, bottom of the ninth, the Mariners' Julio Rodriguez with a line drive to center. The Rangers' Adolis Garcia laying out for this gorgeous catch. Oh, that is top 10 for sure, as they win the game 8-6. Our action-packed April rolls on with these featured events on ESPN+. Now, tomorrow at noon, we'll have the next German Clasico between Bayern and Dortmund. That is also on ABC. And then Tyson Fury putting his WBC heavyweight belt on the line against Dylan White on ESPN+ pay-per-view. Also tomorrow, it is the 120th annual Copa del Rey final. And finally, the much-anticipated series finale of the aforementioned Tom Brady and Man in the Arena. That's going to drop Tuesday night at 11. Coming up, he just might be the best sixth man in NBA history. Steph off the bench, sparking the Warriors again. Are they now the favorites to win it all?